Hello, this is Jim Person.
And I'm Kristen Auerbach.
And we'd like to welcome you to the Fairfax County Pawcast. It's the podcast featuring news, stories, and events from the Fairfax County Animal Shelter. On this edition, for you cat lovers out there, we're going to talk all about cats. You're going to learn some of the most common reason that cats are surrendered to the shelter, and the kinds of cats and kittens you're likely to find when you visit the shelter. We'll talk about Fairfax County's innovative approach to helping cats in the community, and we'll also give you tips about what to do if you find a litter of kittens without their mom. We'll also hear from Dr. Jody Clark, who is the medical director of Pender Veterinary Clinic, about keeping your cats healthy throughout their lives. So, cat show today, Kristen. We've had dog shows, but it's the cat people time now.
Right.
All right. So, we talked about it in the intro. A lot of cats at the shelter. Is there? Is this a dumb question? How do most cats get to the shelter?
Well, most people think that most of the cats that we get to at the shelter are picked up off the street as strays, but actually, it's the opposite. Almost all of the cats you'll see in those 40 adoption kennels have been surrendered to the shelter by their owners.
That does surprise me. Are there specific reasons why they're being surrendered?
There are, and typically it has really nothing to do with the cat. You know, we see people's life circumstances change. Someone in the family develops allergies, or people are moving.
Are there more cats in the world than dogs, too, I wonder? Not that we have a census for animals, I guess, but...
We know there are more cats, and we also know that in most places in the United States, dogs are no longer free-roaming, but in most places in the United States, cats still are.
Okay.
There is a higher number of cats in the U.S. than dogs.
How about feral cats? Does the shelter take feral cats?
No. And this time of year, that question always comes up because sure enough, someone's going to come to the shelter with 10 traps and 10 cats that they felt were a nuisance and want us to take them. But, you know, we have no placement options for those cats. So really our only option would be to euthanize perfectly healthy animals, which is not something we're in the business of doing. So instead, we offer people a couple of solutions. One of those is that we have a trap neuter return program where residents who care for feral cats can have them spayed, neutered, and vaccinated for rabies at no charge to them. So a lot of people think we do about 1,000 cats a year, making us the largest trap neuter return program in Virginia.
Yeah, it never ceases to amaze me whenever you throw out numbers. It's just like incredible. I mean, you know, right here in Fairfax County, the amount of stuff that the animal shelter does is just mind-blowing.
It's a big job because, you know, they estimate that in Fairfax alone, we have about 150 to 200,000 free-roaming cats still. So that's a lot more cats we have to spay and neuter. And the other thing we know is that by taking them in, we don't reduce the problem. And, you know, we're not ever going to be able to get all of the feral cats off the street. So spaying and neutering them, letting them live out their lives without contributing to the homeless pet population is what we feel and national best practices tell us is an ideal solution.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier, you know, maybe somebody coming in with a bunch of traps they've had in their yard and, you know, they feel like the feral cats are a nuisance, that kind of thing. I mean, what is the option? What should folks do if they feel that's
well, I'm a bird lover and I have feeders all over my yard. So I know when feral cats come to my bird feeders, it's really upsetting. You know, those of us who love wildlife, you know, certainly don't want cats preying on them. And we're able to offer now solutions. And one of those is a cat stop device, which is a little device that emits a high frequency sound that is not upsetting to dogs or other wildlife, but it does deter cats. And so we're able to loan those out to residents for 6 months. And that usually takes care of the problem. Now, if it's a larger area, there's all kinds of deterrents available, including pellets and sprinkler deterrents that will keep those cats away from sensitive areas.
That's just mind-blowing all the time here. Is there such a thing as cat season? I mean, is there a time of year that's more prevalent?
Between now and October, we'll see the majority of kittens coming into the shelter, and the warm season corresponds to kitten season. And so we do get more kittens than we could possibly handle. This is when our foster program becomes truly life-saving. Last year, we put several hundred kittens into foster homes, and they wouldn't have survived otherwise. There's no way we can meet the capacity, their care needs at the shelter when they're very young.
Now, Fairfax County has animal control officers. Are they picking up cats?
No, animal control officers only pick up cats if they're sick or injured. So if they have a medical need, the animal control officers will pick them up and take them to Pender or to, you know, whatever vet is closest if it's an emergency and get them the care that they need. But usually cats that are outdoors, that are healthy, wandering around, they're fine. What we really want to make sure of is that we target those cats that are sick and injured. So certainly if you see a sick or injured cat by the road or in the road, you'll want to call animal control.
You may have answered this question, but I just want to make sure we're clear on this. Is it okay for me to let my cat roam outdoors?
It's not illegal. There's no licensing laws for cats in Fairfax. So they don't have to wear a tag like a dog does. So it's legal for them to roam outdoors. But it's not a good idea. We only adopt out cats to indoor homes, and we ask everyone to keep their pet cats indoors. Mm-hmm. There's a couple reasons for this. One is that when we talked in the last question about sick and injured cats, animal control does pick up many, many cats that have been attacked by another animal, have been hit by cars, or very, very sick. And so we don't want people to take that risk. And every year in Fairfax County, we have 2 to 4 cats test positive for rabies. And so you want to make sure your cat is vaccinated, and you don't want to let your pet cat roam outside.
Yeah. Okay. We've got Dr. Jody Clark, Medical Director of Pender Veterinary Clinic, sitting by eagerly waiting. But one final question for you, Kristen, as we're talking about cats and kittens. What should a resident do if for some reason they're out walking or in their neighborhood or something and they happen to stumble upon a litter of kittens? Is there something they should do, action they should take?
It really depends, and they can always call the shelter or animal control. Depending on the age, we may ask the person to leave the kittens there. If they're neonatal young baby kittens and we know there's a mother nearby, we may ask that person not to remove those kittens at that time. If they're between that 4 and 8 week period where they can eat on their own and they're not dependent on their mother, we'll want those kittens to be brought into the shelter so that they can be cared for until they can be spayed and neutered and then put up for adoption. But it really depends on the situation. So the best thing to do is not to pick them up, but to call first.
Okay, good advice. All right. So our special guest with us, Dr. Jody Clark, Medical Director of Pender Veterinary Clinic. And thanks so much for being with us on the PawCast today. We appreciate you being
you're
here.
You're more than welcome.
Talking about cats and some questions Chris and I have for you. I guess to start off, we've been talking about, you know, cats and kittens and indoor cats and outdoor cats. Are they different in their vaccination needs and their care needs? Do indoor cats need more vaccinations kind of thing?
Well, first off, I just want to agree with Kristen and say, you know, it's definitely better to have your cat be an indoor cat. It's a whole lot safer. We frequently see indoor cats live to be 17, 18 years old. They do very well. They have good quality lives. And so I'm a real advocate of that. But yes, the vaccination needs are a little bit different. If you do have a cat that you choose to let go outdoors, we do strongly recommend that in addition to the feline distemper vaccine and the rabies vaccine, of course, that cat also receive annual feline leukemia vaccines. Feline leukemia is a virus. It's frequently a fatal virus that's fairly common in the cat communities in Fairfax County, and your cat is certainly at risk if they're outdoors of picking up that virus.
Okay. Are there, you talked about the longevity of cats, 17, 18 years old. Are there maybe some common health problems that cats face as they get older?
Probably the biggest health problems we see in cats originally arise when they're middle-aged, and that's cats being too fat. We also see problems with dental disease, very common. And so I think probably the most important thing you can do for your indoor cat is not feed it too much, a thin cat, and take care of its teeth. We do recommend brushing cat's teeth, not always the easiest thing to do. but certainly, you know, have the teeth checked by the veterinarian on a routine basis and have whatever dental care done that needs to be done.
Dr. Clark, have you seen, you're the medical director, so you've obviously been doing this a long time. Have you seen changes in the kind of problems we're seeing in cats? Has medical care for cats changed over the years, and have the problems changed?
I think, and I've been in practice for 27 years now. So when I first was in practice, a lot of the cats we saw were outdoor cats, barn cats. Probably the most aggressively treated cats we saw had trauma. They'd been hit by a car or attacked by another animal. We saw probably a lot more euthanasia, just without any type of workup. And over the years, what has sort of evolved is these old cats. And so now we treat a lot of cats for chronic kidney disease, diabetes, you know, other issues like that, that would not have had a chance to arise if these cats weren't given the chance to live to be 12, you know, 13, 14.
So on a larger level, like on a broader philosophical question, do you think our sort of, as a society, we're treating animals differently? We're feeling, like the feeling about animals and the care they deserve and those things are changing? Are those evolving since you started in practice?
Definitely. And I mean, some for the good and some for the bad. I mean, I do think in many cases, pets are now regarded as full members of the family, and that's certainly evolved for dogs as well as for cats, but particularly for cats. Cats are now much more apt to be a daily companion and, you know, sit on your lap and not be considered the sort of reclusive, reticent type of pet that they used to be thought to be. And they, you know, because of that, people want to treat aggressively for diseases that in the past they would have said, well, it's just an animal. And I'm not going to pursue that.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of asking because I think, you know, I have three animals and they're definitely family members. And I've certainly been a pender with my fair share of emergencies. but I still don't have pet insurance, health insurance for my pets. Can you talk a little bit about that and why that is so important now as we, as we do want to treat our pets like family members?
Well, veterinary medicine now can pretty much do anything, almost anything for a pet that can be done in human medicine. And as you know, with human medicine, the vast majority of people in the United States do have health insurance, and they would be unable to afford a lot of the care that they get if they did not have health insurance. And quite often, unfortunately, in pets, if people don't have insurance, we're still have limitations and financial decisions come into play, and there are things that you're unable to do because the owner cannot afford to do it. So I do strongly recommend pet insurances. There's a lot of different varieties out there. The key thing is to get your pet insured when it's young and healthy, because they do have some pre-existing, you know, problem clauses, just like human insurance does. But start early, and I think it can really help in the case of catastrophic disease.
We get all the time, we have this heartbreaking situation where someone has an animal they love so much. It's had a catastrophic injury or illness. They bring it to the shelter because they can't afford it. And it puts us in the position that, you know, we have limited resources too, but we want to do everything we can to treat that animal. So we may treat it, and then, you know, do we adopt it back to the person? Do we not? And those situations are avoidable and preventable for most people just by purchasing simple health insurance that really isn't all that costly.
Well, I think it goes with almost everything in life. A little bit of preparedness now, you know, will make your life easier later. And, you know, since the cats or the pets are part of our family, not only is it stressful on the animal, but it's stressful on the human part of the family. So if you've done a little bit ahead of time, then you're not stressing and worrying about how to pay for it or care for it or that kind of thing. So good advice. We're recording in the spring season. We just kind of started, and weather is getting a little warmer. So I guess I had a question about, we hear so much about, you know, flea and tick prevention with dogs. Is it kind of the same with cats?
Well, certainly if you have an outdoor cat, it's the same. If you have a cat that's indoors, though, they're still at risk for picking up fleas. Sometimes a lot of people will own a dog as well, and the dog comes and goes, or the cat is out on the screen porch and neighborhood cats come by or that kind of thing. So I do think it is important to control for fleas in your indoor cat as well. Probably more important is heartworms. Heartworms are spread by mosquitoes, and if you've ever had a mosquito in your house, then you know that potentially your cat could be bitten by a mosquito. And heartworms in cats is a very can have very serious consequences. Cats can die from heartworm disease, and there is no effective treatment once they've contracted heartworm disease.
I didn't even know they could get heartworm disease.
Yes, it actually, it's different than the way dogs get it. It basically affects the lungs in cats, and so they can have chronic bronchitis. A lot of what we used to call feline asthma is now considered to maybe be the result of heartworm disease in cats. And one of the worst things is that the the death of the worm can trigger a reaction that actually can lead to sudden death in the cat.
Fascinating.
So, and there is no effective treatment. So the best thing to do is to put your cat on monthly heartworm preventative. There are topicals, there are oral forms, whatever, to control for heartworms. Yeah. A lot of those products also will treat fleas at the same time.
Wow.
I'm certainly learning something today.
I'm telling you. I always learn
going
something.
Going to get heartworm preventative for my cat.
Absolutely.
Good.
Well, we are unfortunately almost out of time, but I want to throw the microphone back to you, Dr. Clark. Just kind of a wide open question. Anything I haven't asked or anything you feel like our listeners need to know, especially when we're talking about cats and caring for cats?
A lot of people are reluctant to bring their cats to the veterinarian because they perceive it's a very stressful experience for the cat. Mm. And I think that's probably true. We do a lot of things to try to minimize the stress to your cat. And I do think it's very important to get an annual physical exam because if we don't find the problems early, we can't treat them effectively.
All right. Dr. Jody Clark, Medical Director of Pender Veterinary Clinic, has been our special guest with us on the podcast today. And
thank you, Dr. Clark.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're welcome.
Before we go, featured pet.
Okay, Trina is the featured pet of the week. And guess what? She's not a cat.
What? This was supposed to be all about cats.
I had to pick the one that really needed it the most. Okay. And this week it's definitely Trina. She is a 10-year-old kind of frumpy dog. She's so cute. She's got like one ear that goes one way, one that goes the other. She walks a little funny. So she came to the shelter and she did nothing but cry, the loudest cry I've ever heard of a dog, for about a week. And so much so that we couldn't put her, even though she's very sweet with other dogs and people, we couldn't put her on the adoption floor because no one would go in the adoption kennels if she was in there. Well, we called the owner and found out that Trina, she loved this dog very much, and she had to surrender her because of allergies. Her 2-year-old son had allergies that were the point that it could be life-threatening for him. And she was brokenhearted about it, and obviously Trina is too. So we sent her to a foster home where as long as somebody's rubbing her belly and giving her cuddles, she's totally fine. She was just voicing her upsetness to us in the shelter. So we really want to find her a special home. She is so cute, and her face just kind of breaks your heart because you can see she's just like, I need my people back. And so we want to find her a special home. And one great thing is that the person who used to own her would really love to have a relationship with that adopter and help them along as she acclimates to a new home.
Cool. All right. So be sure to ask for Trina when you go to the Fairfax County Animal Shelter. All right. That is going to do it for the time that we've got on the Animal Shelter podcast. Again, thanks to Dr. Clark for being with us. And thanks to you for listening. And please do remember that the next time you're wanting to add a new best friend to your family, whether it be a cat or a dog or a rabbit or a guinea pig or whatever, come to the Fairfax County Animal Shelter located at 4500 West Ox Road, Fairfax. They're open Tuesdays through Fridays from noon to 7 p.m. and also on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
For more Fairfax County Animal Shelter news and events, visit us online at fairfaxcounty.gov/animalshelter and be sure to check out the calendar of events located on the site. You can also call 703-830-1100 extension 2 or email animalshelter@fairfaxcounty.gov to have all of your questions answered. To see the latest shelter news and events, find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And also on TV on Channel 16 on the television program Tips and Tales. Thanks again for listening to the Animal Shelter podcast produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.